234 years ago today, our forefathers gathered in Philadelphia and signed the Declaration of Independence. One of the signers of that historic document was a Catholic by the name of Charles Carroll. On the telephone with me this morning is Scott McDermott. Scott is the author of a book on Charles Carroll, and Scott's on the telephone with us today from Kentucky. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Bob. I really appreciate you having me.
Tell us a little bit about who Charles Carroll was. Tell us about his life, if you would, please.
Well, Carroll had a really fascinating life, and he was distinguished primarily by three facts. First of all, he was the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence. Second, he was most likely the wealthiest signer of the Declaration. And third, he was actually the longest living signer. He lived to be 95 years old, and after 1826, from the time 1826 until the time of his death in 1832, Carroll was the only remaining signer, and so he really became a nationwide celebrity and a household name for that. He was raised Catholic. He was sent abroad to school because Catholic education was, of course, illegal in the 13 colonies, and so he was educated at, first at Old Bohemia, which is on the eastern shore of Maryland and your Delmarva Peninsula.
Right, that's part of our diocese, yeah.
That's right, exactly. And he was educated there briefly with his second cousin, the first Archbishop of Baltimore, John Carroll. Mm. And then they both went together to France, to the Jesuit College at St. Omer's, France. And so he was filled with, I think, Catholic political principles, with Catholic philosophy, and really brought that back into the founding of the United States. He was very active in politics before and after his signing. He was a member of the first United States Senate. He was a very prominent Federalist, member of the Federalist Party, and supporter of Washington, both during the war and during his presidency. So he was very much in the mix of the founding of this country.
Where was he born, Scott? Was he born in the Baltimore area?
Yes, his family had several estates, and he was actually born in Annapolis at their home in Annapolis, mm-hmm. which is still standing there, and lived most of his life at Doe-Regan Manor, which is also still standing near Baltimore. But he took the name Charles Carroll of Carrollton after another family estate, which is in Frederick County, Maryland, in western Maryland, mm-hmm. although he never actually lived there.
Interesting. Now, how did his Catholicism influence his role in the founding of our country and the way he lived his life? What made him different from the other founding fathers?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think his Catholicism made him very influential in terms of obtaining religious liberty for Catholics. And he was, of course, you know, in favor of that, and he was in the first United States Senate, which debated the Bill of Rights, and so he was involved in that process. But I think it was just his example, setting an example for his co-founders that a Catholic could be an American patriot, because the other, you know, most Protestant Americans at that time were raised with the prejudice that Catholics simply could not be good citizens. You know, they were disenfranchised, they couldn't vote, they couldn't hold office, and so when the Revolution started, Carroll broke through that glass ceiling, and he proved to Adams and Washington and Jefferson and all of the other founders that it was possible for a Catholic to be a devoted patriot, a devoted and loyal American patriot. And I think the other thing that's really important about his Catholic background is simply, again, his educational formation by the Jesuits. And what that accomplished was simply to fill him with the Catholic political precepts coming out of the Middle Ages, precepts like, first of all, natural law and natural rights, which is, you know, one of the foundation stones of the Declaration of Independence. You know, we also have concepts like right of resistance to tyranny that comes out of the Catholic tradition, actually, and what's called popular sovereignty. ideas of corporatism, ideas especially about the common good being the object of politics. And so I see Carroll as a person who, you know, quietly, he couldn't be too bold about this because to some extent being a Catholic was still a very suspicious thing in the minds of many people, Protestant Americans at that time. But I think in a very subtle diplomatic way, he brought those ideas into the making of the Declaration of Independence and the founding of the government.
And you mentioned folks like John Adams and Benjamin Franklin. What was his relationship with them? Did they treat him any differently that he was a Catholic than perhaps they treated some of the others?
Yeah, again, this was a process of learning for them, I think, because, like I said, Protestant Americans were raised to think of Catholics as the enemy. You know, ever since Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament with the king and the royal family in 1605, Catholics had been considered a very dangerous minority group. And so when men like Franklin, Adams, Washington encountered Carroll, I think at first they were a little suspicious, but they were won over, first of all, by his brilliant intellect. They were won over by the fact that he was a very, you know, polished gentleman, and that he clearly had a great deal to bring into the mix, you know. And so they managed to gradually shed their prejudices. There's several quotes from John Adams where he says things like, you know, this Charles Carroll has just come from Maryland. He's a Roman Catholic, but an ardent patriot, you know. So you see that process of recognizing that Catholics can play a constructive role in a government like ours. And so he was in Congress with Adams. He was a major supporter of Washington in the Continental Congress. And he was also sent on a diplomatic mission to Canada in 1775 with Benjamin Franklin, where the two men became very close as well.
Do you think his being Catholic helped him to relate to, like, the French of Canada? Is that why he was sent?
Well, I think that's another very important contribution of Carroll, because, as you know, the French alliance was one very critical factor in our winning the war. Now, say in 1773 or 1774, it would have been absolutely unthinkable for Protestant Americans to consider an alliance with France. France was the traditional enemy in Canada before the French and Indian War. You know, Protestant American colonists considered the French to be a very dangerous enemy. After the Revolutionary War started, however, I think it was, you know, the presence of men like Carroll who convinced these Protestant founders that, no, we need to try to make a connection with Catholics. We need to bring them into the mix of this nation. And so they started to forge an identity of America that was something different from what had been before. It was not just about being a freeborn Protestant Englishman. It was about something different all of a sudden because Catholics were included. Mm-hmm. And I think Carroll should take a lot of credit for that.
In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and on this, the Independence Day edition of Catholic Forum, we're speaking with author Scott McDermott. His book is entitled Charles Carroll of Carrollton, Faithful Revolutionary, and we're talking about the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence 234 years ago today. Scott, you said that Carroll was the longest living signer of the Declaration of Independence. What year did he die?
He died in 1832.
What was his contribution post the Revolutionary War period? What kind of role did he play in our country?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, Carroll was one of the founders of the Federalist Party, and you know that was the party of Washington, the party of John Adams. And when John Adams was not reelected in 1800, and the other party, the Democratic Republicans of Jefferson, were elected, Carroll was thrown out of office, and he went into retirement with some bitterness for a period of years, and he was, you know, definitely out of favor politically. But as time went on and as he aged, people began to remember him, and especially after July 4th, 1826, when both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on the same day, Carroll, being the only remaining signer, suddenly, you know, became a national icon and extremely influential. And if you drive around this country and you'll see many towns, many counties actually with the name of Carrollton or Carroll, and many of those are named after Charles Carroll because he was the last living symbol of that founding generation and their virtue and their integrity. And so political candidates would come to his home and seek his endorsement. And I think one very critical comment of his in 1828, when John Quincy Adams was running against Andrew Jackson and both candidates solicited his endorsement, all that Carroll would say was, "I endorse that candidate who will most favor the common good." Again, that Catholic political principle of politics in which the common good is the object of politics and not just individual satisfaction.
Scott, why did you write your book, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, Faithful Revolutionary? What prompted you to write it?
Well, I am a convert, and I did my undergraduate work at Cornell University, and I converted towards the end of my time there to Catholicism. And so I had read a great deal about the founding, a great deal about the American Revolution. And when I became a Catholic, I became curious about was there a Catholic contribution to the founding. And so I had never heard of any such contribution. I think in spite of the great role of the French and Spanish alliance in terms of winning the war for us, it's not talked about very much. It's not talked about that the majority of soldiers and sailors at the Battle of Yorktown were Catholic, French and Spanish Catholics. And so I became very curious about that. And Carroll was really a natural subject for me to try to find out about that. But again, I think the most surprising thing about my research was simply that, to realize just how famous Carroll was in his own day and how revered he was across the country and how totally forgotten he's been, except in Maryland. I think his memory has been kept alive very much in Maryland, but as far as, studying American history in a university nationwide, you're probably not going to encounter Charles Carroll, and I think that's too bad. That's what I've been trying to remedy.
Yeah. How is there anything else that has surprised you in your research about Charles Carroll?
Well, there's just a tremendous amount of fascinating material. And like I said, he lived to be 95 years old. He was really on the cutting edge of many innovations in business. There's, terrific material for a historian of business in his life. I think that another thing that is, I think, surprising is just how perennially relevant the ideas are that Carroll brought into the founding. These are things that we need to be aware of as Catholics, especially the importance of natural law thinking as a basis for natural rights language. We grew up with that language about unalienable rights coming from the Declaration that Carroll signed. And I think what I really learned from this book was that the basis of natural rights is simply natural law. Mm-hmm. And natural law, of course, comes out of the Catholic tradition, although it was embraced by many Protestants of Carroll's day as well. So I think it's crucial, if we're going to make a constructive political contribution now as Catholics in this country, to try to bring that language of natural law back into the public arena. And Carroll is a wonderful example for us as we do that.
It's good lessons that Catholics and non-Catholic politicians today can certainly learn from. Scott, are there still ancestors of Charles Carroll around that you're aware of?
Oh, there certainly are, yes. And I've been graciously received by some of them, And actually, as I mentioned, it's Carroll's very unusual in that descendants of Carroll actually still live in his home at Doregan Manor near Baltimore, and that's very unusual to have that continuity from a founder, and to have his descendants still living in the founder's home. So yes, there are many, many Carroll descendants around.
How can people get a copy of your book?
Well, it is available on Amazon.com, or you can order it directly from the publisher, which is Scepter Publishers. That's S-C-E-P-T-E-R. They have a website at www.scepterpublishers.org. Or you can call their toll-free number at 800-322-8773.
Well, Scott McDermott, author of Charles Carroll of Carrollton, Faithful Revolutionary, thanks for taking time to be with us today on Catholic Forum, and enjoy the rest of your Independence Day.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate it.